Into that, oh sacred lamb, what a joy to think about that. And I love that last verse, talking about your eyes are going to see. Wow. Well, I was thinking about this. I'm going to get started here in just a moment, but I was thinking about the young people in the auditorium. It's such a blessing to see. I was thinking about Jackson Scroggs is back there, and I saw Nate Quillen come in. And I've told these parents we don't even call their names anymore. They just got Nate Quillen's parents. Used to be Hannah and Preston, but we don't even call them that anymore. This is just Nate's parents, but it's good to see young ones. But then I was thinking about other ones that are older than that, but just sitting with their parents. And this is what memories are made out of, having your children in church. And you say, yeah, but sometimes they don't sit so good. That's all right. That's all right. I didn't sit good either, but Mom had me there. She had plenty of stuff for me to draw on and crayons and things to do. That's just normal kid stuff, but thank you. You are not passing up on the opportunity to have your children here sitting beside of you, building memories and hearing some preaching. They'll get blessed out of that once in a while as well, but I was just thinking about here, get to see Emmett up this way, and it's just all of them. I start naming. I got Adeline back there, my neighbor. I see her anyways, but and good to see Atlee. It's just wonderful to see these young people with their parents and sitting around, and just it's just what memories are made out of, having your children in church with you. And so thank you. And those that I know, many of them can't be here tonight for one reason or another, but I want us to be a church that is children friendly. Sometimes churches are so stiff and starchy that whenever a kid acts up, everybody looks around and says, what's he doing? Well, he's just being a kid just like you were. They'll be all right. If I couldn't out-preach a kid, then I would be not much of a preacher. So don't make anybody feel bad when they come in. You just let them be all right back there, and we'll sort it all out. And if it gets to be a horrendous disturbance, the ushers can take care of some of that. But you don't worry about that. We just love children, love them being in here. And so thank God for that. I don't know why I mentioned that, but it just hit me while I was up here, and I'm thanking the Lord for it. Well, I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would. As you don't forget to remember that June 15th is that Father's Day car show. So if you got an old vehicle, get it ready. We don't have too many months left, but we're excited about that. But we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 5. I did hear this story while you're finding your place there. It's not a joke, but it was a sweet story that this little granddaughter was sitting up on the lap. Maybe that's what made me think about these young people. The little granddaughter was sitting up on her grandpap's lap, Papaw, and she felt his face. It was kind of rough, and he'd been a hard worker most of his life. And she said to him, Papaw, did God make your skin? And he said, yeah. And then she reached hers, and it was so soft. And she said, did he make mine? And he said, yeah. And then she looked up at her Papaw and said, he's getting better, isn't he? You know, children are a wonderful thing, wonderful, wonderful blessing. And so thank God for that. Well, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. I'm going to preach from this one verse and not leave here. But the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to preach about this one verse and just trust that the Lord allow me to give to you what I seem to be impressed with as I was trying to preach through this book, of course, but I just couldn't leave this verse. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write three words across the top of your paper and or down the side, whichever: decision, direction, and delight. You don't have to take notes, but if you want to, decision, direction, and delight. And I want to preach for just a little while about that. And I'd like for us to meditate about this, how much the Lord loves us. There's a reason that we can cast all our care upon him, and that's because the first part of the verse is true, because the last part of the verse is true. You can cast because he cares. And you know he cares because you can cast. Either so it goes both ways. But if something matters to you, sometimes people will come to me, sometimes young people in the faith, and they'll say, well, I feel guilty sometimes praying about this. It seems so small. I said, there's no small things to the Lord. You understand, when he's all powerful, if you don't want to pray about a little bit of a weather change that you want for some event that you're having somewhere, and you say, well, I don't know if I should pray about that. The Bible says, pray about everything. And you say, well, this is so small. God probably doesn't worry about that. When you're the all powerful, omnipotent God, it's no bigger of a deal to you to answer a little prayer than is what we would call a big prayer. And if something matters to you, his child, then it matters to the master. And that's why the verse says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so I make you this promise tonight, and we've got a group that's going to sing a song about it, that if it does matter to you, then you can rest assured it matters to the master. Would you sing that for us? And I believe it'll be a great blessing to you as we get started tonight. If you didn't write that down, write decision, direction, and delight. And I want to preach for a little while, but I want you to listen to this song first. And I do believe it'll be a great blessing to you.
When life lets you down and you feel more broken than whole, when the wounds go deeper than words and you can't tell a soul, I may not know what you're going through, I may not can make that high mountain move, but one thing I found that I really want you to know. He wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Friend, do you think the Maker and Giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? He sees the sparrow that falls on the ground, and he hears your tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in his sight. If it matters to you, he wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, to the Master. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it doesn't only matter to you, if it matters to you,
Master. Amen. Thank you so much for singing that for us. Because this beautiful verse is the promise that God gives to you. He gives you the challenge, if it were, as it were, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I was thinking about this simple verse, and the first word I had you write down was decision, casting all your care upon Him. It's an instruction that's given to you. It's an invitation that's given to you, and it's a challenge that's given to you. Right after the verse before it that says, humble yourselves therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do, to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and just trust him to elevate who he needs to elevate. Sometimes we want to say, if I'm not going to make it happen, nobody else will. But scripture says just to humble yourself, let God elevate you. And that's a tough thing to do. And I believe that's one reason why God follows it up right with this verse and says, casting all your care upon him. You understand that this world that we live in is so concerned about who gets credit for what's being done. God says, cast all your care upon him. And so there's a decision to be made. Humbling yourself and trusting things to God is troubling. But God says just to cast it. And so as all of us go through this life, we've got a decision to make. You can hold on to the problems that you have and say, Lord, I've got them. You don't, but you can think you do. And there's many of us, we hold tight to our problems and our issues and our difficulties that we're having with people, and we struggle with them and we wrestle with them and we try to work them out on our own, and we try to have conflict resolution, and we try to have meetings where we have intercessors between us, and we have go-betweens and all mediators, I should say. We try to do all of these things, but there's a decision that needs to be made in everybody's heart. And that decision is that you as a Christian need to say, I'm going to give it to Jesus. Because you are not a good load carrier. God didn't make you to carry all of the problems that come in your life. And sometimes we act as if it's a bragging right to say, no, I'm carrying all of these things. This sickness, I can take care of it. This problem that's going on in our family, I can take care of it. My friend, you'll crack under the pressure and you won't be able to bear it. That's why God tells you and he promises and he invites you to make this decision, casting it all. Give it to him. There's problems that come in everybody's life. I read this church sign. This was for real. It said, don't let your problems kill you. Let the church help. Now, what they meant was, if you're having problems, the church can be a help to you to bear those problems. But what they said was, don't let your problems kill you. Let us help. There's problems that come to everybody. And there's a decision that needs to be made by everybody, and that decision is to give it to God. I don't know if it's a relationship. I don't know if it's finances. I don't know if it's a lack of promotion. I don't know what it is, but there's a need for you to make a decision that I will give this to God. And there are people right here in this room. You are holding and twisting and working on something, and prayerfully asking God to let it dawn on you, come to your recognition today that you need to make a decision to finally let loose of it. Haven't you done that with a kid before when they're holding something so tight and they're not supposed to hold it? Let go. Let go. And sometimes you have to pry their little fingers. Sometimes that's about the way God has to do us. I'm challenging us to make a decision to give it to the Lord. There's a pilot. He was just recently got his license, and he was certified to fly by instrument, but he had never done much of it. And so he was flying in, getting orders from tower, but the weather was very bad, and he was worried that he wasn't going to make it. He got real panicky, and then finally somebody in the tower called back to him with a very stern voice and said this, "You just obey the instructions. We'll take care of the obstructions." Because he was afraid as he was coming through in that patchy atmosphere that he was going to hit something. But that's pretty good advice for us. If we'd follow the instructions and let God take care of the obstructions. But there's only one way that'll help, or happen rather, and that is if you decide to do it. A decision must be made to give it all to Jesus. But I ask you to write a second word down, and that's direction. After you make this decision that I can't handle this all on my own, then the direction is in that verse as well, upon him. The direction means to go to him. Let's say I do choose, I'm not going to internalize it. I'm not going to take all this in on my own problems. I'm not going to try to do this. I need help. And sometimes people in a very real way, they admit that, and that's a good step. I admit that I need help, but sometimes we go to the wrong spot for help and we don't go to the Lord. I'm a blessed man. I could call dozens of people tonight if I needed them, and they would say, well, we'll be there in a little bit, and they would help me with anything that I need. I know that. I'm so thankful for the friends that God has given me right here. But they can't carry every load. But there is somebody who can. And the direction that I need to point my decision is upon Him. I hope that you would be able to call somebody in this church or somebody, a neighbor or somebody as a friend, somebody as a family member, and say, I need help, and they hopefully would give it. But there is going to come a time, Scripture says, that when I looked to my right hand and I looked to my left hand and there was nobody, refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. And there's another passage in Scripture where it says, even my father and my mother forsook me, but God, thou took me up. The direction that our decision needs to be headed toward is the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse meant a lot to George Mueller. George Mueller was a powerhouse for the Lord. He lived during the 1800s, almost the entirety of, from 1805 to 1898, I believe. And he ran different orphanages in England. He was a man that God used again and again. I don't have time to tell stories about how he would pray, nobody else knowing the needs of the orphans that were there. And milk wagons would just break down in front of the orphanage and would be told that it's going to go to waste. Do you have any use for it? And he had just gotten off his knees to pray and ask the Lord. But this verse meant a lot to that George Mueller. And he kept a motto on his desk for some years of his ministry. It says this: it matters to Him about you. It matters to Him about you. And so what they sang over here was so true. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. You take a child, a young child, and what they're worried about or what they're concerned about is so juvenile. But if it's a loving mom and a loving dad, it all of a sudden becomes very, very important, because it matters to my little one, so it matters to me. And do you think that we even begin to compare to what kind of parent we are versus our Heavenly Father? Our direction. You've made the decision, I hope, to say, I can't handle everything on my own. My friend, there's wonderful programs. There's great biblical counselors. There's many different people that can be a huge help in so many areas, but there will be some areas where all you can do is just trust completely and wholly on the Lord. I don't even have to ask you this, but there are some things in your life that you don't even want to vocalize, but you can tell God about. I don't even want to speak that, dear Lord, but I'm asking you in my quiet, private time that you would work in a special way. The direction, we've got to learn that it's not within you. There's a boxer back in the 80s. His name was James Tillis. Quick, they called him, James Quick Tillis. He challenged the World Boxing Association heavyweight, and he almost won. It came down to a decision. He was a great boxer, from what I'm told. He was the first man to go the distance without not allowing Mike Tyson to get a knockout in 1986. The fighters up until then had been knocked out. He broke his streak. But he was very confident in his ability. He came from Tulsa, Oklahoma, if I remember correctly, and he made his way to Chicago. He had two cardboard suitcases under his arm, he gave the story. And he said he went to the Sears Tower, now the Willis Tower, and he went there and he set those suitcases down. And he said with a lot of vigor, he says, I'm going to take this city. He was confident in his ability, and he was certainly didn't lack any assurance. And he said, I'm going to take this city. And that's what he was there for, to make a name for himself. But he learned a good lesson that day. As he set his suitcases down and raised his arms, said, I'm going to take this city. Look at this huge building. He turned to start to walk away and pick up his suitcases, but they were gone. Somebody had stolen them. You can have all the confidence that you want in the world, but if your confidence is placed in you or somebody else, then sometime or another that confidence is going to be misplaced. You need to have the confidence. That direction needs to be set, that my confidence is in Christ. I hope to be a good pastor to you, and I believe this is the most wonderful church that a person can be a part of. But even this church, and certainly this pastor, we will let people down, and we won't always be there as you need us to be. But my friend, the direction that you set your mind and your affection when it's toward the Lord, He will never let you down. Where is your confidence placed? In what direction? Is it in yourself? Is it in your income? Is it in your ability, your health? All of those things can be taken quicker than we would like to admit. The direction needs to be that I'm looking toward the Lord, casting all your care upon Him. And the last word I had you write down was delight. And the verse concludes by saying, He careth for you. Could you just take this little exercise and make it your own tonight? Would you just sit there for a few seconds and just let it register with you that the Creator of this universe cares about you, every young person, every single adult, every widow. The Creator of this universe, the Almighty, all-powerful God, really does care about what you're going through. The Bible says that, although we like to challenge this in our thinking, but it's very true, that the goodness of God leadeth or bringeth men to repentance. Now, preachers a lot of times want to think that the fear of God and the strength and the judgment of God will bring people to, and that could be as well. But God says it's the Word of God says it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. It may be that you were scared of your eternal destiny and you didn't want to go to a devil's hell, but it was because the goodness of God came into your recollection, came into your mind, and God burned that into your heart through His Word that says He's got a home in heaven. All you have to do is receive Him as Savior, and it's that goodness of God. Well, that goodness of God is all true because He careth for you. So the delight that you wrote about is this, that He, that's God, careth for you. It was sung about this morning that God cares or notices the sparrow, and if He cares about the sparrow, then He knows about you. I read a story, true, from the construction worker. They were engaged in building a road through this rural part of a county. The superintendent noticed that there was a tree with a pretty good sized bird nest up there, and he could hear that there were little birds in there, and the job was a little larger, and so he marked that tree with a ribbon and told the people that were taking them down to leave that one, and they went on and left that one right in the center of their project. And he said the project went on for a little time, and he got in one of the bucket trucks that were used for some other aspects of the job, and he looked up there one day when they were ready to get to a place where he needed it. And the nest was empty and the birds were gone. And so he said, take it down. And you won't believe this, but this is what he said for the truth. He said, as they fell that tree, there's a large nest, and as it fell, it kind of came apart. And he went over to it just out of curiosity. And he said that of all the things, there were some feathers and there was straw and there was leaves. There was all the things that the bird had put there. But there was some paper and some little bit of plastic and some strings around. But one of the things that were in that nest that came out as it came apart was a little part of a pamphlet from a Sunday school class, apparently. And it had these words on there from this verse, He careth for you. And that construction worker was so impressed that the string of events allowed him to care for that little bird, the little birds that were up there, but then it spoke to his heart exactly as the scripture says. If God cares about the sparrows, what does He care about us? So much more. And that tonight, I don't know of anything that's more delightful than to think that God cares for you. If you're here tonight, you're away from God. You are far from where you're supposed to be. My friend, our Heavenly Father loves you, and He wants to take you back to where you need to be. Maybe you've been running for a long time. You've been living in a way that's not right with God, and you're far away, backslidden from where you were supposed to be. My friend, God loves you. wants you to be right close to Him once again. And perhaps you're here and you're unsaved and you've been thinking about this and that and trying to get, you're in church. You've been trying to do everything. He, that's God, careth for you. That's why He came to this earth to save your soul. So tonight you need to make a decision. First of all, the decision is, I can't handle this. Casting all your care. But you need to make sure you're looking the right direction upon Him. Because friend, that are friends, the Bible, as they say, the old saying, the friend in need is a friend indeed, and we're certainly glad for friends, but you need that better friend. You need that friend, as the scripture said, that sticketh closer than a brother. And when you make that decision to look in the direction of God, then my friend, you will find the same delight that we're talking about here tonight, and that is that our God loves us. Because if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for You allowing us to be in church tonight. Lord, it's a wonderful blessing just to get to think about Your goodness. Lord, it's just wonderful to realize, although we're not able, You are. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would be faithful to set ourselves to look to You, to make a decision to look in Your direction and see that delight. Pray if there's one in here that's unsaved, that they'd be saved tonight. I pray if there's a backslidden person, dear Lord, far away from You, not at all where You want them to be, they would understand You're calling them home tonight, calling them back to where they need to be. Lord, I pray there's decisions that are going to be made tonight already and will yet to be made to live for You. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. As they continue to play, would you just do business with the Lord? Would you, if you're able to, stand together, make it a little bit easier for somebody to slip out? I don't want it to be ritual and routine, not just stand because this is the time we stand, but let's do it with a reverent attitude to think of, if God's doing something in the lives of us, then I want to be faithful to call out to Him. Is it heavy on your heart tonight? If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. I can't believe that we've all got it figured out, that there's not more of us that need His help, His guidance, His assurance, His assistance. Would you come tonight? Come and pray. If you need somebody to pray with, then grab somebody on the way and say, would you pray with me? You say, oh, I'd be embarrassed. It's time to cut pride out. Just do business with the Lord. How about it, my friend? Is there something you want to give to God? Give it to Him tonight. You say, Pastor, it's too big. It's not too big for our God. A decision, the direction, and the delight. I'm going to let Him play on through. Would you come? Maybe you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved. Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. He would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved on your way to heaven. If you're a lady, He would have a lady pray with you. Maybe you're backslidden tonight, far away from God. Would you come? Would you get right with the Lord tonight? You don't want to end this life in that fashion. You've been living wrong, inappropriate, ungodly. Our Savior cares about you. As they continue to play, this is your verse, your stanza. Would you come? Maybe you have some other burden on your heart. My friend, don't stand back there and think God doesn't care about this little thing. He does. I'd like for us to sing that song that they're playing. They'll put it up here on the wall. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior if you make a decision. And life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Daniel, why don't you lead us in that? You may be seated. We've got a short business meeting. I'd like to, you have to leave if you need to. If you're in a hurry, that's fine. But Brother Danny's going to come.